Good morning, LifePoint. So good to see y'all. My name is Ed Travers. If you're new here, I'm the teaching pastor here at LifePoint Westerville. I just want to welcome you. Really good to see your face. Glad you chose to make LifePoint your home for the day. And just want to really welcome you and say thanks for being here. LifePoint actually is one church that meets in four locations. So here in Westerville, of course, but also in Lewis Center, in Delaware, and in Mount Vernon. And so I wanted you guys to know that we, the teaching pastors of all the campuses, we work together on a drivecast, or it's a daily podcast, Monday through Friday, that it's about 3 to 5 minutes long, and where each of the teaching pastors kind of give their take on that week's message. So it's something that we've done to help you, to just kind of give you like a pick-me-up during the week, but you can find that in the app. Or you can find that on the web. And so I'd love to hear your feedback about that, if that's helpful to you. It's really awkward to try to sit by yourself with a microphone and share for 5 minutes. It's kind of awkward, but I'm trying to get used to it. But I'd love to hear if it's helpful to you guys. So that said, today is a really special day for our church. And in fact, as we were singing, it was hard for me to mouth the words, "Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross." Anyone else feel that way? It was hard to even come out of my mouth. I couldn't sing it with passion. It was like, how can they put Jesus on a criminal's cross? But then those next lines, and then he rose from the grave. I mean, what we get to celebrate today, baptism, is a picture of that risen Savior who's called us to new life. And so you guys get a chance to be here today and to watch and celebrate with people if they have made a decision to go public with their faith. That said, a little bit about me, just in case you know, I'm trying to share a little bit every week so you get to know who I am. But I grew up in Central Ohio, and I'm the youngest of six kids, so we had this really big family, and my parents struggled to find things that we could all do together as a family. But one of the things that we would do, we would go down to Old Cooper Stadium and watch baseball games. Can I ask you, just by show of hands, how many of you have been to Cooper Stadium? How many of you were there when it was Jet Stadium? Okay, not as many. Okay, listen. Have you ever seen a tornado? Anybody? I got to tell you something. I have never seen a tornado, but I'm a little fascinated by them. I just don't know how I'm going to respond. I in my head, I'm watching TV, and you know, you see the big funnel cloud and this humongous thing, and it's just going through. Like, I think in my head, I'll watch it and take pictures, and I'll be the last guy out. Like, I'll be daring or something. And I think maybe that's how I would respond to a tornado. I honestly have no idea how I would respond. But let me tell you the closest I ever came to it. I was at the old Cooper Stadium. Here's a picture of the old Cooper Stadium. So you can see, you know, the big stadium, and it was all on one side, and, you know, the grass, everything was open. But one day, I was back in, like, when I was 12 or 13 years old, my family had all come to Cooper Stadium, and the weather was getting kind of bad, but the game was still playing. And the inning had just separated, and they just went back on, you know, to the field, and they were kind of throwing the ball around. And then the second picture I want to show you, if you remember, at the top of the stadium, there were these, like, bars all around the top. You guys remember that? I'm in the middle of the stadium, and the wind picks up to a degree I have never heard wind like that. And the wind whistled through those bars and made a high-pitched screaming sound. It was the most eerie thing I've ever heard. And everybody's a little bit freaked out. And then I look out to the mound. The pitcher does this. And he bolts into the dugout. All the players are scattering into the dugout. And someone starts screaming, "Get the children down! Get them down!" And my response was, I hit the deck. Like, I went straight for the cement in between the chairs because I had no idea what was going on, but evidently a tornado flew right over us. I mean, it didn't touch down. So I think I would respond to a tornado with bravery, but it might be true that I would just hit the deck. I honestly don't know. But nevertheless, hey, be careful with your children out there at the game. So that was free. So listen, we're in a new series called I Am. It's on the Gospel of John. John was the best friend of Jesus. Of all the people that knew Jesus, John might have been the best. Think of it like this. When Jesus came on the scene and he started his public ministry, he had about 70 disciples, like this huge group of people. And then inside that 70, he had another 12 that were his core disciples that led everything. And then beyond that, he had three guys that were his closest guys that he poured everything into. And that was Peter, James, and John. Now, John was so close to Jesus that when Jesus was on the cross, he literally looked at his mom and said, "Woman, behold thy son." Basically, he was charging John with taking care of his mom. That's how tight they were. So if anyone knows Jesus, if anyone could reveal Jesus to us, John might be in the best position to do so. And in this series, I Am, it comes from the statement way back in Genesis. When, remember the story where Moses sees the burning bush and God tells him, "You're going to go to the people down in Egypt and bring them up out of Egypt." And Moses says, "Well, who am I supposed to say sent me?" And God says, "I am sent you. I am sent you. I will be who I will be. I define myself." So God was revealing himself to that nation of people, but they really didn't know him very well. In this series, John is going to reveal Jesus to us. And in the series, we're calling it I Am, because there's these many statements that Jesus says, "I am," and he defines himself, because he's revealing who God is through the Son, Jesus Christ. So in the series, here's what we're saying every week, that I am determines who we are. I am determines who we are. And today, we have to decide how we're going to respond to the revelation of Jesus Christ, the big reveal. Now, if you saw a tornado, you're not sure how you would respond. But how would you respond if Jesus really revealed himself to you? That's the question. And I think if you're, you know, if you've been following Jesus for a long time like me, Jesus is always revealing himself to me, and I'm always trying to respond to that. But you might ask the same question if you were kind of really at the beginning of your journey with the Lord. How am I supposed to respond to what Jesus is revealing? And so that's what we're kind of going to look at today. So if you have a Bible, open it up to John chapter 1. And if you have the app, you can open up and look in the notes, or you can look in your listening guide, or we're going to have the scriptures on the screen as we go along. And I'm just going to share a couple things of how John really reveals the big identity of Jesus. But let's pray together. Lord, I'm so grateful for who you are and grateful for just what you reveal to us about yourself. I pray that today you would use your word and your spirit to help us understand who you are and help us to respond to you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, the first thing I want to say about John 1 is this, is that John revealed the identity of Jesus. John revealed the identity of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1, here's what John says. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, at the beginning of At this time, when the church had just got started, John was probably an older guy. Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already probably written their gospels. And John is going to write something about Jesus that's different than any of the other three guys have written. And he addresses the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians all at the same time with this first sentence, "In the beginning." All the Jewish kids would have known that's the same word started in Genesis, "In the beginning." And in the beginning was the Word. That word logos, that's a Greek word about revelation. And all the Greeks would have understood from their understanding of God that God's the revealer. And here's what he says. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing, or him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So whoever this Word is obviously God. God was in the beginning. He did all things. He created all things. In him was life. In him was the light for all men. Later on in verse 14, it says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He's talking about Jesus. So you could read the same verse this way. Verse 1, "In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God." That's the identity. Jesus is God Almighty. And what makes that so amazing is we know the rest of the story. Unless you've never heard it today, then you know that Jesus came down and died on the cross to pay the penalty for your and I's sin. God loved us, made us. He is the one who created us, and we are supposed to be in relationship with him. But he also gives us the ability to decide which direction we're going to go. And for whatever reason, we all decide to go our own direction. We reject his leadership over our life. And we choose to want to live lives our way. That is what sin is. God is a holy and righteous God, and that means we have a problem because God's just not going to sweep our sin under the rug. But because of the righteousness of God, something had to happen to pay the penalty for sin. He sent his son, his own son. He sent himself. That's what makes the revelation of Jesus so amazing. the criminal displayed, you know, like here's the criminal, the great criminal. That's what it looked like on the cross. And the Romans are saying, look at your criminal, look at your criminal. The Jewish leaders who were hated him, they're like, look, no, there's your king of the Jews, save himself. God did that. God sent his son. What would say I love you more than that? I know what'll happen. I'll send myself down and die for them. Then they'll recognize me. That's what makes it so amazing. God didn't send anyone else to do a job. He did it himself. And I think that really then comes down to how do we respond to that? And, you know, baptism is a great response. It's actually a picture of how you respond to Jesus. In verse 9, it says this, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. They were born not of blood, or nor of the will of flesh, or nor the will of man, but of God. Listen, baptism is a beautiful picture of what we just read. We're going to bring our young ones in so that they could see this response today. You see, baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment that's already happened. When you decide to respond to Jesus, and here's the thing, a lot of people know Jesus in their mind. They're like, oh yeah, I believe that happened. But something happens when it starts to sink into your heart that you realize, oh man, if that's really true, then I'm not right with God. And then when that happens, it sinks into your heart, then you go, okay, well, what do I have to do? And as Jesus reveals himself to you, what you do is you lay your life down. You say to Jesus, okay, I'm sorry. I please forgive me, God. I believe in what you've done. God, I wanna trade my life. I wanna give my life to you, Jesus, if you will simply save me from my sins so that I can be right with the Father. Baptism is that picture, the picture that you die to yourself. So you go down in the water, and the water represents the blood of Christ. It kind of washes away your sin. And as it washes away your sin, then you're raised new, a new life, born again. So what we wanted today, as we're doing the baptism, is we wanted the children to come and see, because we have some children getting baptized today, and every time we do a baptism, we talk to the kids and make sure they've understood exactly what it is and understood as they make that decision to become a follower of Christ and to go with outward with their expression. One more thing I'll say about baptism, just so you're kind of aware, is that think of it like a wedding ring, that with a wedding ring, you kind of have an outward expression of an inward commitment that you've made. So I can take my ring off, but I'm still married. Does that make sense? In the same way that baptism doesn't make you saved or doesn't make you a believer in Jesus, baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment that's already been done. Does that kind of make sense? So here's what we're going to do. As the kids come in and sit down and kind of watch and participate and celebrate with some of their friends who are getting baptized today, what we're going to do is we're going to have a video from some of the people who are getting baptized, and then we're going to do the baptism. All right? So as they're sitting down, I'm going to ask you guys to pay attention to the first video.
When I was in the fifth grade, a friend of mine, we were sitting in a park in Macomb, Ohio, and he was trying to tell me what it was like to accept Jesus into your heart. And I remember doing it and feeling something different. That was the start of my my moment, if you will. When I was at a YMCA overnighter, I had first heard the concept that it was not about me, but it was about my relationship with Jesus. My wife and I went through premarital counseling with a pastor that he flat out asked me, do you believe in God? And I said yes, but I had questions. And he was, you know, really patient in a non-threatening way. We went through the questions, and he was the first one to really say, Jason, it's okay to have questions. You don't need to have it all figured out before, you know, you accept Jesus. And that was kind of an aha moment for me. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe in Jesus. But it wasn't really until I had a medical scare in May of 2015, you know, started getting involved in church more and just knew that the next step was just to really be about what Jesus wanted me to do. I decided to go public with my baptism because it just seemed like the right thing to do. It's an outward sign of an inward change. First of all, I'd like to thank Jesus, my wife, my dad for all of his pushing, and of course, all my life group members. I realize I'm still gonna have questions. I'm not gonna have it all figured out. I've decided I'm still going to lean in and trust God and just follow where he wants me to go. My name is Jason Cowgill, and today I'm going public.
Jason, have you decided to follow Jesus with your life, believe in him, and let him be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Jason, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you move right up here, buddy. So Jason was talking with his son, and his son wanted to become a follower of Jesus and wanted to be baptized today. Sam, have you decided to follow Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I decided to give my life to Christ when I was on vacation in Hilton Head with my family, and we were watching a movie called God's Not Dead. And after that, I thought I wanted to give my life to God, and I wanted to be like the guy who helped the sinner. And I asked my mom and dad, will you help me pray and give my life to God? Me, my mom, and dad went and prayed after the movie, and we kind of asked God, will you forgive me? And I felt confident that I did that, and I felt good that I could do that. Now that I've accepted Christ into my life, I feel more confident in Jesus and able to rely on God. I've decided to get baptized because I want other people to see that they can do the same and they can give their life to God too. I would like to thank my mom and dad for being with me when I was praying. I'd also like to thank my sisters for supporting me when I made this choice. My favorite verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It reminds me that I can rely on God when I'm weak and that God is my strength. My name is Charlie Bosler, and today I'm going public.
This is Ryan Bosler. Ryan is one of the leaders of our church and the Life Team's director, and we allow parents and leaders to baptize in our church.
Well, Charlie, have you made the decision to give your life to following Jesus Christ and have made him your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then it is my privilege to baptize you as a brother in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Sister Anna, we're talking about what it means to be saved. I prayed, and at night I asked Jesus into my heart, and I was excited because the angels were having a big party in heaven for me. My favorite verse is 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I like this verse because it tells you that you don't have to worry about anything, and when you're scared, just put all your worries on him. I want to get baptized because I want to show everyone how much Jesus loves them and I want to show everyone that I love him and that he cares for them. I want to thank my sister Anna for teaching me about how to be saved, and my grandpapa and my grandma and grandpa, and my mom and my dad for teaching me about Jesus. And I want to thank my church leaders for telling me about Jesus' life. I'm Ellie Olson, and today I'm going public.
This is Andy Olson, Ellie's dad, and one of the leaders in our church and a life group leader.
All right. Ellie's, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Then it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I gave my life to Christ when I was 6 years old, and I was crying in my bed because I had done something wrong. And my dad came in and I asked him for forgiveness, and he forgave me, but he told me I also had to ask Christ for forgiveness. And I asked Christ for forgiveness, and then he told me about how Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, and how he rose back again 3 days later. And then he asked me if I wanted Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and I prayed with him about it and said yes. Life has been great since I've given my life to Christ. It's been good because I've been able to talk about my diabetes and help, and I can talk to him about him helping me with, like, when I'm sick because of my diabetes and scared. And it's also good because I can talk about him when I'm thankful for something. And it's also nice to know that I have him with me wherever I go. My favorite verse is Joshua 1:9, and it is, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is my favorite verse because I have diabetes, and sometimes it's hard to get through it. So I have to be strong and courageous, and it's nice to know that I always have God with me. I want to get baptized so I can obey God's word, and so other people know that I'm a follower of Christ, and so that they can come to me with any questions. I'd like to thank my dad, my mom, my brother, my sister, my friend Liam Long, and my life group leaders, Ben and Zach, because they have been like role models to me and they've taught me a lot about Christ. My name is Tyler Shields, and today I'm going public.
This is Pastor Mark Shields, Tyler's dad, to baptize today.
All right, this is a special joy to me. I've been able to baptize all three of my children at Life Point Church, and just seeing God work in each one of their lives. And this is just testimony that He literally answered prayer. He answers prayer. Me and their mom, Colleen, we prayed when they were young that they would all give their lives to the Lord. And this is my last one. So. Super excited. Tyler, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. Because of your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Man. Well, first off, is that the sweetest thing you've ever seen? You know, getting to watch, Jason, who has he's just coming alive in the Lord, like watching him grow in his faith. Even since we launched in this past year and a half, I've got to know him. And then to have his son follow him today, what a great picture of how we're supposed to live as families. What a beautiful work that God is doing in their family. Then also to see, the kids coming and following the Lord. It's just a beautiful picture. So we're gonna have the kids kind of head back to their classroom so they can kind of finish up and have a great time. Thank you guys for being so good. did a great job. I wanted to just talk for a minute before the band comes back up and we have some closing songs and we worship God together. We get to celebrate together what God is doing. I just want to talk to you. Because I think that whether you're like me, you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, or whether you're kind of on the beginning of your journey, the truth is we all need to respond to Jesus. It's not okay to not respond. In fact, to not respond is your response. That one of the verses, as I studied this passage, to be honest with you, I could preach on this passage for 3 straight weeks and not even scratch the surface of the depth of what's going on here. But one of the verses that really hit me as I was reading the second part of that passage in between 9 and 11, it says, when the true light gives light to everyone was coming into the world, he was in the world and the world was made through him. That means the word of God, Jesus, came in and he made the world. And yet he was willing to die for the world. He dies for the creation. That blows my mind. It says he was in the world and yet the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. That means he was revealing himself really for the first time. That God of the universe was basically saying, I'm going to show them not just what I do, you know, from the Old Testament. I'm going to show them who I am through my son. But some, they just don't know him. But verse 12, verse 11, he came to his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, to all who responded, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood or nor of the will of, you know, of man or of flesh, but of God. And I think there's this idea that maybe because we're here and we're all part of the humankind, that we're all children of God. That is true to a point, but the Bible would say that in our sin, we're actually enemies of God. We're trying to live in a certain way for ourselves, and that makes us, even though we don't maybe even realize it, actually enemies of God. God is trying to do something in our lives. He's trying to glorify, you know, himself through us and through the cross, and he wants us to follow him, but we're going the opposite direction. We're enemies of the direction God is trying to take us. But as he reveals himself to you, to anyone who would receive him, who would believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That means a true relationship, like a spiritual adoption. He puts his spirit in you, and you become a follower of Jesus. It's a beautiful picture, and that is how he wants all of us to respond to God. Years ago, I was sitting with a friend of mine named Craig, and I met Craig and got to know him a little bit, and Craig was sharing his journey from going from a guy who really considered himself an atheist to being a guy who was now on the cusp of receiving Jesus. And he told me about his life story. He told me where he's from, Middletown, Ohio. And he told me about his struggles. He told me about how there was a person in his life who was living out this faith. And because of that, he really wanted to explore who Jesus was because he just saw something different in this person. And as he's pouring all of this out to me, I said, Craig, can I ask you something? He said, sure. I said, do you believe in God? He's like, yeah. I said, do you believe that we sin and that separates us from God? He goes, yeah. I said, do you believe that God sent his son down and actually died on the cross and rose again? He said, yeah, I do believe that. I said, Craig, do you want to respond to God? He said, if I knew what to do, I would do it. I said, Craig, all you have to do is pray and your heart, God does something in you. If you just pray and submit your life to Christ, he'll do the rest. He said, that's it? I'm like, yeah. I said, do you want to do that? He goes, yes. And we sat there in the car. And we prayed. I just kind of led him through a little prayer. I watched Craig go from what the Bible calls from death to life, from someone who is an enemy of God to someone who follows God, from someone who is literally, doesn't have a spiritual mind to someone who has now all of a sudden the Spirit of God is in him. I got to watch not only respond, but I got to watch him grow. I got to baptize Craig. I mean, it was one of the just joys of my life to watch that happen. But I say that today because I think that even in this room, there are people who know who God is, you even agree that it's true, but you've never said, okay, I'm going to respond by submitting my life to God. I'm going to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And in a minute, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And when you do that, the Bible says, you know, if you acknowledge Jesus before man, he will acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. and to the rest in the room who, you know, you've been following Jesus. Here's my question to you. Is he still revealing more of himself to you? Through the word, through prayer, through, you know, going to church, through life group, is he still revealing himself to you? Is there a spot you need to respond to him? Maybe something in your life, the way you're dealing with a relationship or the way you're dealing with a coworker or the way you're dealing with your family. Maybe it's something that's internal. Are you still responding? Every day, we have the opportunity to lay our life down, submit our life to Christ, and allow him to lead our life. And the only appropriate response, if someone is willing to die for you, is to lay down your life for them. So let's do this. Let's all stand together and let's pray. And I'm going to ask the band to come back up and lead us in a song, and we're going to worship God together. But before I do that, I just want to lead you guys in a prayer. My life is really made up of these moments where God reveals something to me and I respond. Sometimes moments just like this on a Sunday after a service or at the end of a service, and I just close my eyes and I would bow my head and I would just connect to God. Like, you have to trust that if you're willing to pray, don't you know that God is willing to listen? If you ask him, you have to trust that he is willing to answer. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to talk to God. Close your eyes and bow your head, and just between you and God, just talk to him right now. If there's an area of your life you need to respond, tell him that you hear him. Yes, God, I hear you. I know that you're challenging me to respond to you in this way. Talk to him. If you're here and you have never made a decision where you've actively said, all right, God, I'm going to submit my life to you. This is what you do. You say, God, I am sorry. I've been living my life for me. Just tell him. Tell him you're sorry and ask him to forgive you. You simply say, in your words, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for living for myself. But tell him you also recognize that he sent his son to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And because Jesus is alive, you tell him, say, Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I submit my life to you. As we're still in a moment of prayer, everyone's head, just stay in a moment of prayer. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I said I would give you a moment. The Bible says when you acknowledge him before man, he will acknowledge you before his Father in heaven. Here's what I want you to do. Between you and me, acknowledge him. Let me be the first person to say, yes, I see your hand. Just raise your hand and say, yes, I prayed that prayer. I'm giving my life to Jesus today. Thank you. As you acknowledge him, you need to know that God sees you. He sees your hand. He sees what God is doing in your life. I'm going to pray for you right now. God, I'm praying that the people who are responding to you, you would put your spirit in them. You would change them from death to life. You would give them a new relationship with you. I pray by your spirit that you would give them the power to carry it out, to live in this new relationship with you. God, as you are changing them just from the start, even from the very start, I pray, Lord, that they would sense your presence in them. God, we are so grateful for what you've done. Help us to respond to you even this week as we think about what it is you're trying to share of yourself with us. In your son's precious name, we pray.